You all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, will you call roll call, please?
President Graves?
Here.
Vice President Dawson?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Here.
Thank you very much. Before we get into our presentations, I do want to let the public know that we are pulling item number G6 off the calendar indefinitely to be brought back at a later date. So if you are here for strictly that item, I want to let you know that now. Other than that, there are no changes to the agenda. Do we have any presentations?
No presentations tonight.
Thank you. This is the time for public comment. I would ask anybody out there that has something they would like to talk about within our jurisdiction that is not an agendized item to please come to the podium and take your 3 minutes. Any public comments?
Okay, this
is where I talk about
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
want to
talk about
it?
Oh,
anybody.
Sorry, I don't have an agenda. That's okay.
Come on out.
Go ahead.
And we ask you to come to the podium, not to put you on the spot, but because this is recorded for the rest of the town to hear on the website. So if you'll talk into the mic, I'd appreciate it.
I'm Gary Tucker. I've been a resident in Discovery Bay since 1994, part-time and full-time for 7 years. My wife and I live on Windward Point. And we are kind of members of an informal group of mostly small dog owners that goes to the Carnell Park every day at about an hour before sunset. Yeah, and we walk our dogs and let them play together. And we have one or two picnics a year where everybody brings food. And so it's kind of it's not an official group. We have never, you know, elected officers or anything, but we do show up every day, and we have between 10 and 15 owners, and then some days we have 15, 20 owners, and we've had as many as 24 dogs there playing and everything. So it's really a ritual and routine that we'd like to keep doing, but there's been a lot of pit bull and dog attacks, and we don't feel safe anymore. My two dogs were seriously injured. We're up to like $2,500 in vet bills by some pit bulls that were off leash that came out of the tennis court area and attacked my wife when she was trying to walk our dogs. There's another lady here whose dog was also attacked, probably by the same two dogs, a brown pit bull and a black and white mix of some kind. The person who owned the two dogs that attacked us gave us a phony name and a phony phone number, and we'll never find him probably. So what we're trying to do here tonight is to suggest that maybe we could get a small dog or a dog park area. We walked to tonight and found some good areas in Cornell Park that are not used at all, that are out of the way from soccer, from baseball. And the area that we looked at was between Willow and Beaver Lane, and along that fence, which is the south-southwest. There is an area where nobody ever plays. We've been going there for 3 years, and no kids play over there because there's nothing there. So the walking trail around the playground from there to the fence and from lamppost to lamppost, so you're still about 30, 40, 50 feet away from the horseshoe pit, so we're not interfering with, I know a lot of parties go on there and everything else. So that's the area we'd like to see developed, and I understand from Mark that there's some problems with maintenance and all that stuff, and If you know our group, we all pick our dog poo up. If somebody misses, the other person picks it up, but we're not always there. So I know there's going to be some people who are probably going to leave their stuff. I don't know what we can do. Maybe we would be willing to form some kind of a formal club, dog club, to do the maintenance for you. But I don't think the cost of the fencing is going to be that much, but I understand from Mark that there's problems with the maintenance. So I have no great suggestions. I think I would definitely contribute $200 or $300 to tonight toward maintaining that park, and I think there's a few other owners here that might be very interested in contributing to this effort. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. On that subject, since I wasn't aware that There might be multiple. I would suggest if you are going to speak on that subject, it might be a good time to come forward and do it now if there's somebody else that would like to speak on that.
Oh, you need to face us.
You got to face us, Peg. Sorry. Because that's just the rule.
You have to talk about it. Most people don't want to, but you have to.
It's the way it is, sorry.
Okay, I'm Peggy Weingartner, and my husband and I have Justice. Justice is my husband's hearing dog. But we kind of separate. He walks the dog in the morning, I walk the dog at night, and I'm part of this group that meets in the evening. Our dog has been attacked twice, once with what sounds like their two dogs, and also one by a brown dog, which was a pit bull also. So we have had above $1,000 on our repair too, and of course the person that did it simply ran away with the dog, and that was it. I would like to also see a park for us dog owners that have medium-sized dogs, no pit bulls, and I would be also willing to contribute.
Thank you for your comments, Peggy. Anybody else on this subject?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Alan Rogers. I live across the street from Cornell Park, adjacent to the tennis courts. And the reason I'm sharing this is I broke up a pit bull attack on a lab with one of my neighbors, and it was ugly, and it was a huge vet bill, and then I got subpoenaed to court because they started suing each other. And I guess my comment to our community is, and I see it because I see it from my front yard, there are some unbelievable, nasty-looking dogs starting to come into Discovery Bay. And people bring them over to the park, and they release them, and they just assume they're going to be the same as when they're at home. But I'm going out of my way now to share with the neighbors that bring their little kids over there, and they go inside the tennis court, and they shut the doors, and they let their kids play out in the park, which you would normally do in a park, not knowing that these people come over and release these dogs. And I'm hoping that what these people have experienced and what I've seen doesn't evolve into small children, because guys, there's some ugly dogs coming in there, but all I can tell you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on that subject or any other subject at this point? Any other public comments about any items not on the agenda? Okay, just so some of you have not been to one of our meetings before, and so I just want to say that during public comments is a time that we give the public an opportunity to say what they want to the board, but it's not meant for dialogue. What you say then will be brought and discussed, and then if there is some direction to be going to be taken, it will be probably addressed at a later date. But that's just the way the process works. So just because we haven't responded or have a discussion with you doesn't mean that we're not understanding and hearing what you're saying. I just want to be clear on that. Hearing no other public comment, then I would close public comment at this point and move on to the agenda.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
If I may?
Yes.
Just for the public's knowledge that's here tonight to speak on the subject, we do have the director of the county animal control coming to the board on May the 4th to discuss this issue specifically, as a result of Dr. Tucker's dogs being attacked. So we will have another opportunity on May the 4th to address that issue specifically, and what the county might be able to do.
And I appreciate that. And I will let you know that we were all aware of this days, within a day, I think, of it occurring. The staff was notified, and the staff on something at urgent notified the board. We all received emails, and we were brought in the loop on it. Understand jurisdictionally there's always issues. Your comments are very well taken, and yours too, Peg, about the need for a dog park. It's been something that's been discussed by the board from time to time, but probably needs to be brought up again in a more serious manner. And that will probably happen under some sort of a workshop environment when we can talk about how to do it and what to do and what dogs would be allowed and all those kind of necessary things, whether it be by time or who can, you know, that type of issue. Please come back again when, check the agendas and find out when we're discussing that issue. If you're interested, and please be here to give your comments. We'd appreciate it. Moving on to area agency reports, I would ask Lieutenant Burton to come forward, please.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mike.
I definitely don't have enough copies for everybody.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people.
But if you would be so kind as to share with a neighbor.
Everybody does.
In response to the folks with the small dog issue,
yes,
I certainly will engage the resident deputies as to the issues and ask them to do a little more, pay a little more attention. That's not something we would normally be all that in tune with. And also, Dan Barrett, who's the Director of Animal Services, I've known Dan for years, they get along with him very well. And we will certainly support them in any way that we can with the resources we have, so.
You know, on that subject, Mike, it might be interesting to find out what time of the day that this particular group is there, just so your residents know. What time of the evening is it that you folks typically are at the park? Is it the same time every day?
Yeah, about 5 o'clock right now.
So you might be a time to put an extra patrol up there in the area, through there, and make sure that we're on board with that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Animal control, I talked to them today, and there is a possibility of finding out who this person was because he called the vet's office when I was there to find out if the dog were dead.
Oh, okay.
And they need a warrant, and animal control says, we need to get the warrant. We need to talk to you about getting the warrant.
Okay.
And they say the same dogs have also chased a little girl
over
at one of their parks.
Okay. Well, I will, I'll give you my contact information before I go. Thank you.
Thank you.
As far as the report, I think the big news was obviously the robberies that occurred. We had three robberies. One was of the pizza delivery driver who was set up, directed to an address that was a vacant house, and then attacked, had pizza stolen and some valuables. And then we had two other instances of kids being robbed of their iPods and related accessories. Within about 48 hours, we arrested six individuals, and they've all been charged in custody with felony robbery. The real positive to that is I think it sends a strong message that we're not going to put up with that sort of thing here in Discovery Bay, that we are going to be, you know, on top of it. It was the priority for our investigations unit after it happened, and between the resident deputies and the investigators assigned, it's pretty unheard of to take that many suspects into custody on three and solve three robberies in that short period of time. So it was really the resident deputy program. Those guys knew pretty much who the suspects were. It was just a matter of getting the victims together and figuring out who was responsible in which instances, and just very good work. I would obviously prefer for this kind of thing not to happen, but given that it happened, I think this is the best possible outcome. I feel perfectly comfortable that these guys will be brought to justice. It's also a benefit moving into the summer months. All of these folks will be on felony searchable probation, which will allow the deputies a great lever to use against them anytime they're out in the community, especially if they're out in the community and misbehaving. So, does anybody have any other questions about the
first
report?
Does the board have any questions?
Just kudos to the group. That was excellent. That
Thank
was good
you.
Work.
Thank you.
And they're still in custody right now, I think.
Yes.
In reading through the report, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to say, you know, great work to the press for making this the issue it needed to be, so people not only will read that it happened, but read that it, immediate action was taken, and that, I think, will act as a deterrent also.
Yes.
You guys didn't mess around, and I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. You know, I got calls from parents asking if it was safe for their kids to go outside, and you guys that have known me for a little while know that I take that stuff very, very personally, so I was very thankful that it went through it. The one report that really stood out to me, and since we have a big group here and some folks that, some faces I haven't seen before, I want to point out that we had an embezzlement, basically a fraud based on a Craigslist sale. And the person is out $21,000 on a vehicle that they bought over Craigslist. And what I will tell you is that, and forgive me if I don't mean to lecture, but we've been seeing these each month. You should never send anybody anything, you know, on Craigslist. You never want to send money. You know, you can go through the PayPal thing, it's a little safer. I encourage people shop locally, you know, if it's somebody nearby, meet in public areas, you know, pay with, you know, cashier's checks or things like that. Cash is not king. But definitely, you know, and I've seen these scams. I've been in the market for some hunting things, and you get these, you know, well, the item is in Texas, but upon you sending the money, you know, I've even seen somewhere the response was, my son was killed in, you know, Iraq, and this is his property, and I don't have it here, and it's so, because it's so painful to look at. So they're really just sinking to the absolute depths in terms of trying to convince people that it's a real person. So I just encourage people, if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. You see these things where they want you to respond to an email address. Typically, that's bad. You want people and phone numbers and things like that. So just be on your guard. And like I said, the old adage about if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. So the burglaries, again, that we've had are open doors. In one case, there was a physical break-in of the side garage door. But the other two burglaries that we had were both unlocked doors and people helped themselves.
You want to give that speech one more time since you have a clear audience out there? Why don't you go ahead and give it?
Well, the same spiel as I've been giving in my entire, you know, I think almost 5 years out here now. The easiest point of access in your house is the side garage door. And most of those side garage doors are interior doors that they've laid a piece of thin sheet metal over and called it a fire-rated door. And the door can be easily forced open by virtually anybody. A lot of us leave our doors open for our dogs or for our pets or for our kids or so forth. I have one of those on my house, and there happens to be a big 2x4 bolted over it and a boat that sits in front of it. Those doors are the easiest point of access, and literally every meeting that I've been to since I've been here, we've had burglaries. I would say as high as 80 to 90% of the burglaries are side garage door access that are unlocked. And once somebody gets behind your fence, they're out of sight. And once they get in your garage, even if they didn't bring tools, typically most of us have tools in our garage that would, you know, be whatever they needed to get their way into the house. So if you have dog doors, I encourage you to assess or take measures to secure those doors when you're not there. And the old days of leaving your doors unlocked for that Delta breeze and things, they're simply not, those days are gone. So please secure your houses and help us. Again, for those of you that I haven't met, I very much view the community safety here is an us thing. It's not a sheriff problem. It's not a you problem. It's an us problem. And that's what I'm asking of you to help us keep you guys safe, is to just lock up your valuables.
Good. Go ahead, Brian.
Are you guys still doing the, I forgot what it was exactly called, but it was like if I were a thief, yeah.
We're trying to ramp that up. I currently, with the volunteers, I don't really have a vehicle for them, and I want to be very careful about their personal safety as they go out in the community. So we're actively discussing how that thing is going to look once it goes out to the street, but it is going to happen. It's just I'm not sure how it's going to look exactly and how much, you know, risk I'm willing to allow the volunteers to assemble.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, any questions from the public for the lieutenant? I think Peggy.
Are most of these people that are arrested that you were talking about, are they juveniles?
Yes. And of the six, five are residents of Discovery Bay.
Are they renters or owners?
That, I don't know.
I just want to reiterate something that you said specifically, and that when you talk about the Delta breezes, the majority of the time that we get reports of break-ins, they're not break-ins, they're people walking through the back door. Because we're on that deck and we think, oh, the deck's on the water and you really can't get... The majority of the break-ins that they service show no sign, visible sign of forced entry, as I recall. So, you know, it isn't the same place we moved into 15, 16, 17 years ago. And it's important that we keep the places locked up. Thank you for your report, Lieutenant. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Do we have anybody from the CHP here?
Yeah.
Chief Henderson.
Thank you.
Good evening, Board. Hugh Henderson, Fire Chief Reese Contra Costa. Tonight I brought you your calls for service from the Station 59, the Discovery Bay engine. You see the total responses for the engine for the month of March was 59. Eight of those were fires, 37 medical emergencies, and 14 other service calls. Of the eight fire responses, three of them were actually in Discovery Bay. The two cooking fires, both were stovetop fires, and we had one chimney fire in the month of March. Structure fires were out of the Discovery Bay area, and the crop fire was also out of the proper Discovery Bay area. On the last page is something new that I just started doing for the board to kind of give you a comparison of the activity for the whole district. You'll see for the month of March, total fire responses or fire responses for the district were 45, 402 medicals, 107 other public service or safety calls for a total of 554. And in comparison to 2010, just to kind of give it a thing, we were down about 32 calls on that. And you'll see that kind of vary back and forth a little bit. With that, I'm available for any questions as far as the calls, and then as far as activity within the district, I know the president and vice president of the were there at our board meeting on Monday night. District continues to work through its revenue issues. We are working with a consultant now to look at a benefit assessment and have an engineer's report back to the board. My guess is that we'll probably have a special meeting this month with the consultant and the engineer's report to continue for the board to look forward at looking at a benefit assessment district. You know, as we look at budgets, as we start forecasting, as I'm sure you guys are all getting ready to do the same, predictions both at the county level, looking at the cities, and pretty much across the state, assessed valuations of property are probably going to level out this year. They're not expecting as drastic of a decrease in total property values as we've seen in the last couple of years. For those in the audience that may not be as familiar with the fire district in the last 3 years has lost about 25% of its revenue based on property taxes and assessed valuation. So that's a little history of what's kind of going on with the board and the call. So if I'm available for any questions, if you have any.
Any questions from the board? Anything? Brian?
How is John G. Burst doing?
He's doing good. He's on modified duty now. He can work a couple hours a week, and I'm hoping he's back for your May meeting.
You don't like us?
No, I'll be happy to come out every week.
Just kidding, Chief.
The one last thing, as you're aware, we're still short one director representing the unincorporated area. Those applications close on April 12th.
Right.
If anybody's interested in becoming a director for the district, you can go online to the county's website for an application. They'll be doing the interviews in their internal operation meeting on April 18th. And then making a final appointment at the Board of Supervisors, the full Board of Supervisors, on the May 3rd meeting. So,
but the new director won't sit until June, right?
It'll be the June meeting unless we have a special meeting in May.
I just want to make a comment from a lot of my constituents and neighbors out here. We do want ALS out here. We do want our stations reopened. I know we're in tough times here, but I just want to pass the message along again. You know, we would like our stations open. We want ALS. And I know you guys got a tight budget there to work with, but we support what you're doing, and we need some help on that, okay?
Thanks.
And, you know, I will comment just on one thing that occurred at the meeting the other day. There was a gentleman from Bethel Island that got up during public comments and wanted to talk about how wonderful Discovery Bay was. Like, he was an authority for here, and he doesn't live here, and said that we haven't been affected at all because we have this nice station out on Bixler. But the fact is if you live on this side of town, our response times have close to doubled from what they were.
They've increased, and they've, depending where you are, that, you know, we push that 8-minute limit, especially on the end of Discovery Bay.
Understood. Understood. I didn't want to get up and say something directly to him in your meeting because I didn't think that was going to accomplish anything, but he was a little off the mark there when he said that it wasn't affecting us, especially for those of us who live in what I consider Old Town.
And this is, you know, and this is coming from me that, you know, we're a district, we need all 8 stations, and, you know, anytime, and just like the structure fire responses you see here, it takes 5 engines to respond to a structure fire, so we have to send the 5 closest engines. So when you only have 6 to draw from, you're pulling all your resources.
Understood. Yeah, we talked a little bit about that.
So, I mean, it's definitely, it impacts everybody. And, you know, the thing that I like to remind everybody, it's a district. We're not, you know, we try to customize to each community, as, you know, having a battalion chief assigned to each community for community meetings, trying to attend all the community functions with the engines and stuff like that. But for that, you know, individual community to still have their fire engine, their fire station, but when the calls come down, it's the closest resources, and we try to take care of the emergency as fast as we can.
Appreciate that.
Chief, do you think the good rainfall we had this year will help out with fire season this summer?
No.
I've been in the business now for 30 years, starting as a volunteer firefighter. And it doesn't matter if we have a great rainy season and the grass grows really tall, because then we're supposed to have the worst fire season ever.
Yeah.
Or we have no rain all winter and we're in drought conditions, we're going to have the worst fire season ever. What it will mean this year is the annual grasses are going to be taller than normal. With the late rain that we have, we're going to have some double growth, because some of the stuff was starting to turn brown and then now it's growing back up. It'll probably take a little longer for most of the roadside grass fires that you see in the little stuff sooner. It's hard to start weed abatement season to start notifying people because it's too wet for them to go out and start cutting. So, you know, it can go either way. Last year we thought because of, you know, decent rainfall, the fire load was pretty full, that it was going to be a pretty busy grass season and vegetation season, and it was pretty slow. So, you know, it's kind of hard to predict, you know, but as things dry out, you're going to start seeing the stuff turn fast. And, you know, Vasco is probably the best hills, and if you look out the window there, you know, you'll start seeing that brown up here. I would guess in the next 3 to 4 weeks, you'll start seeing things start to turn pretty brown unless we get more rain.
Thank you, Chief.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for the chief from the public? Okay, thank you for giving 2 reports tonight. Appreciate that. And Karen from Supervisor PIFO's office.
Good evening. I want to start out and remind everyone that this Saturday at 1 o'clock, Supervisor PIFO will be hosting a town hall to discuss the aquatic weeds, and in partner with the Department of Boating and Waterways, federal and state, and your local representatives. I do have flyers with regards to the town hall. And there is also an alternate same meeting that's taking place in Bethel Island at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if 9 o'clock's better for you, come join us in Bethel Island. If 1 o'clock's better, we'll see you in Discovery Bay at this elementary school. Also, it is that time of year again, and the Delta Diablo Sanitation District is holding their free household hazardous waste collection events. There is one in Discovery Bay scheduled for June 18th, also at the Discovery Bay Elementary School. from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., but there's also starting in May 7th in Oakley, and then the last of, for the year in October in Brentwood, and East County residents are invited to go to all of those. So if you have, if you have household hazardous waste, take advantage of these events. I believe it does include electronic waste. There's a list of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable on the flyer. And then we did send out a reminder this morning that there were going to be delays on Vasco Road, but the weather has taken a change. They were scheduled to have the one lane delays today through Friday, but when I was driving here, I did say that they have it up from the 11th to the 15th. So just be aware, in the upcoming week or so, there will be one lane road delays on Vasco Road.
There was a delay today, trust me.
Yeah, I experienced it as well. But so just, it is for the good to increase the safety on Vasco Road. And then lastly, I was asked, the Discovery Bay P6 Zone Citizen Advisory Committee has their monthly meetings on the second Tuesday of the month. So this month it will be April 12th. And they are at 7:30. This month they have Sheriff Livingston, the new sheriff for Contra Costa County, coming to the meeting to introduce himself to the group and provide a presentation.
Where?
The meetings are held here at 7:30 on the second Tuesday of the month. And that's it.
Any questions from the board for Karen or the supervisor's office? Any questions from the public? Any clarifications? Karen, thank you very much for your report.
And I will put these flyers out.
I'm sorry, there's a question.
I'm just asking her where she's going to put the flyers.
I'll put them on the flat.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay. Moving on to committee reports. I don't believe that. Rick, you went to the code enforcement, correct?
That's correct.
Or did it get canceled?
No, I was at the last code enforcement meeting.
Is there a report from that, or is there anything relevant?
Well, before you get to that, for the transplant, there is an email from Dwayne Steele on your desk indicating that that he would not be here this evening.
Really?
It's right under that.
And I'll go to, while you're looking for that, I'll go to the code enforcement report.
There's an email that I highlighted.
Code enforcement's going to be looking at Discovery Bay for trailers parked in driveways. They're looking for homes that are unkempt, if you will, and they are in the process, due to their budget cuts, of setting up some hot zones, if you will, in some areas where code enforcement can come into town and do some enforcement with specialized ideas in terms of just for boat trailers or just for homes. So they're going to come in, they're going to roll through town. They're going to hit all boat trailers, and then maybe the next month they'll come back in and hit homes and that sort of thing. And they're going to be coming back to us in the next month or two, looking for direction from this board as to the types of areas that are a concern to the board and to the public.
Yeah, in December of last year, the director got a hold of me and wanted to get time in front of the board to get some direction from us, but our board was changing complexion. I didn't know what direction it was going at that time, so I suggested he hold off.
That's
first of the year.
That's part of this. That's one of the reasons why
we'd like to get him here. So yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, Rick. Anything else?
Nope.
I will say, I apologize. Dwayne Steele is our representative on both transplant and the Planning Commission, and there was no information on transplant, and the Planning Commission meeting was canceled. There were no issues before the Planning Commission with regards to Discovery Bay, and he apologizes for not being here this evening. Okay, consent calendar.
I'll make a motion we approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Any comments from the board? Comments from the public? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. On to new business and action items. I would ask that, Baron, is this your... Is this your time? Yes.
Actually, yeah.
Go ahead, staff.
F1 is a...
G1.
I apologize. Consideration and approval and adoption of a resolution for the Discovery Bay Landscaping Lighting Zone 8 for this current fiscal year 2010-2011 for the operating and the capital improvement program budget. If you do have any questions, Farron is here to address any of those. Essentially, it has to do with the budget amendment is necessary due to the expenses at Cornell Park and the timing of being reimbursed on our park grant monies. So what we would be doing is just essentially dipping into the reserves for Zone 8 and then reimbursing those reserves next year when we get the park grant monies in.
Rick, as a courtesy to those that may have not been in a board meeting before, can you in like three sentences explain why we have these different, what we mean when we say different zones?
They're the different landscaping and lighting zones in town. Zone 8 is the area that is essentially here. This portion of Discovery Bay, it includes the landscaping and the financing mechanism, if you will, for Cornell Park, for the landscaping and the maintenance of those areas. And part of your property taxes go to paying into Zone 8, and those cover the funds of the improvements in this portion of Discovery Bay. And there are other zones in other parts of Discovery Bay. On the next item, there's one on Zone 61, I believe, or Zone 9, I'm sorry.
As the town was developed, different zones were created for funding purposes through the county for the different areas that were being developed. And so we've ended up with, I don't know, how many zones do we have, Farron?
Five
different zones within the boundaries of Discovery Bay. So there's no rhyme or reason to how they're, well, they're probably by chronologically, but they're, you wouldn't be able to make sense of them unless you saw a map.
By development.
Yeah, by development. Yes, ma'am.
Who owns Cornell Park?
Town Discovery Bay CSD does. We do.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we have an item before us, item one, which is to adopt resolution 2011-05. Any questions by the board? Questions from the public?
I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution 2011-05.
I'll second.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. Last chance.
I have a question.
Yes, Peggy.
On Clipper, I had heard rumors that they are not going to allow any improvements on Clipper due to the fact that there are some regulations belonging to the Delta area. Is that true?
Can I address that?
Well, let's see if staff.
There are some issues with respect to that due to the fact that that Clipper is actually a levee, and due to the rules and regulations that have come down since Hurricane Katrina with respect to levee breaches, there are a lot of different governmental agencies pointing fingers at each other, basically saying you can do it, no you can't do it. And so there's a lot of different agencies, Fish and Game, Army Corps of Engineers, thank you, and they are in the process right now of developing those series of regulations. The difficulty is that's a very, very wide levee because there's homes built all the way across it. And so it doesn't necessarily fit in their little round or square holes. So stay tuned on that.
Did you want to add something to that, Ray?
Yeah, that's actually FEMA and the Corps is actually two agencies that are squabbling. And yeah, it's right now I was on the Rec 800.
Point of order.
I'm sorry, Council.
The scope of this agenda item is Zone 8. Is this park, for my clarification, within Zone 8?
Actually, it's not.
It's outside the scope.
It is.
I'm sorry. It is in Zone 8. My fault.
My apologies.
It is. Okay. So what I was going to say is that we don't know which way they're going to end up. So the town was looking at doing a really, spending a lot of money and doing changes to that. And they could come in and say that we're going to take that all out. So to be prudent, we really have no choice in having to wait until these agencies, make up their mind.
We have done some ground cover there.
Yeah.
We have made some minor repairs there. We've done what we can do that won't have to be ripped back out again.
Okay, so we have a motion that's been made and seconded. Without any further discussion.
Could I say something?
Sir.
Yeah, about Cornell Park and the maintenance or the work that's being done. Has anybody checked on the work they're doing? The reseeding of the grass and everything? I think it's terrible.
You know what? The reseeding of the grass at Cornell Park it's going to look bad for a couple of years. And Farron can address what's taking place up there if the board would like to. With respect to the reseeding on Cornell, there are multiple different varieties of grasses in that part, and they take a long time, over a year cycle, to eliminate. And during that period of time, we and the board has been made aware of the fact that it will look worse before it looks better. And Farron, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's essentially the situation.
It's going to be done in phases. Right now, we're just hitting large areas with a certain type of grass. During the summer, we'll be killing out other types of grasses, and you'll see barriers from that, and we will reseed those areas at a later date. So by the time we hit next spring, there should be a vast improvement, but if we were to do what it really needed, we just don't have the budget money for that. So we took the best recommendations we could. We brought in a pest control advisor. They said this is the best way to go forward with what we have and what we're dealing with there. So.
Okay, and there's also holes out there that if you walk, you actually fall. I mean, I can't even walk across that lawn without actually hitting pit holes like gopher holes. They're not gopher holes, but they're holes. And those should be filled in before that gets reseeded. And then when it waters, all the trees around the trees fills up with water. And what happens when it gets warm? We get full of mosquitoes. You can't even walk in that park. There's so many mosquitoes. There needs to be put some kind of drainage on those trees so the water don't sit there and create mosquitoes.
You've brought that information to the right place, sir. I thank you for your input.
Thank you.
All righty.
And the holes are created where trees blew down.
They're all over.
Okay.
And where it fills.
Thank you. Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed. Again, thank you for your input, folks. I don't mean to make light of it. It is important information. And yes, we are. We have a professional staff and professional consultants that are helping us with the situation. We do have budgetary issues we have to deal with, and we ask you to bear with us. But I appreciate you bringing the input, because our landscape manager is sitting right here and hearing your comments. So thank you.
Just to keep them on their toes.
There
how
you
often
go.
Do you put out RFPs for landscape?
Now we're getting way beyond the point.
Oh, it was just a curious thing.
Okay.
They
thank
would
you.
Know.
Item two.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is a very similar item with respect to the last item we just heard. It is in landscape and lighting zone number 9, which is Ravenswood Park. Again, it has to do with the Ravenswood splash pad and the dipping into reserves so that we can get reimbursed next year with some fundings, with some of the funding. And so we're looking for a approval of the resolution tonight and the budget amendment. In fairness here, if you have any questions. And just a side note on this, we were out this afternoon at the Ravenswood Park splash pad, and we turned it on for the first time, and there were lots of happy and excited children.
I'm sorry, I just want to clarify that there's not going to be reimbursements next year on this, if this is coming out of reserves on this one. 8 was being reimbursed, this one is not. Sorry.
Any questions from the board? Any questions for the public? I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 2011-07.
I'll second that.
Yeah, motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item number 3, staff.
I'm going to hand this one over to Farron. We've been working with, Farron has been working with some rules and regulations with respect to reservation forms and fees for our park system as it begins to mature a little bit more. With respect to the new play equipment that's been going in down Cornell Park, the splash pad over Ravenswood Park, we fully suspect that those two parks will become those new improvements in place will become the birthday party du jour locations for families. And so we wanted to make sure that we provided them with rules and regulations as well as with us to have the ability to enforce them. And what we're looking for tonight are just comments back from the board. We'll take those comments back and bring them back at a later date. with a final adoption of the policies and fees. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Farron.
Thank you. Farron?
You're looking at four different forms in front of you. One is just specifically for the park rules and regulations. This, for the most part, is what we started with the county. It's been modified in some instances, added to in others. Example, the splash pad rules and regulations that we have there have been added. The other three are all in relation to park usage and rental policies, fees that would go along with that and the application for that. Right now, we do allow reservations. It is on a deposit basis only. There are no fees collected unless they lose part of their deposit. That does cost us money to do that, to process this, so we are losing money. There's also an inconvenience to the rest of the public who does not get to use that facility while this is being reserved. So we are trying to enact that we would collect fees for reservations as well as a deposit for any damages. They're still low. I just want to say that a lot of this information was reviewed from nearby cities and communities, and we're still presenting this on the low side, just enough to cover our costs for processing and inspections and putting up the notices of reservations, basically.
Okay. Am I to understand that we've always had these fees, but they weren't collected? Is that what you said?
No, we didn't have fees. There's been reservation deposits that maybe might have been misconstrued as a fee, but you got your deposit always, back. Yes.
What was the deposit for?
In case there were any damages or cleanup that needed
okay.
to occur.
I'm sorry. Because I know that when we used it for the church, we worked some, but we always got that money back. Is that correct, Virgil? Okay.
Go
ahead.
One other thing is that everything is still free to use. I mean, the community can still use any of these first come, first serve basis. You don't have to reserve. You don't have to pay a fee unless you're a sports league. But if you want to reserve it and you want to close it off from everyone else from using it, then that's where the fee would be enacted.
So this schedule with the prices on it is the fee that we plan on to charge.
Yes.
Okay, which I agree with. I think that the district should capture our costs. I mean, it costs us money to do that. So, and it doesn't look like it's out of line to me.
Yes.
The only question I have, we went over this before when we were in the office, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, but how are we going to enforce it?
Enforce what?
Collecting the fees.
Well, if they want to reserve it, they have to pay a fee. Like I said, it's a free, I mean, the community parks, the public parks are free, but if you want to reserve the space, have us put up your reservation notice, which people do because they don't want to go sit out there at 6 a.m. to have a birthday party that day, it's a convenience fee. You know, basically, it covers our costs. So we do have people who come and reserve all the time, you know, for Cornell, and now that we have Ravenswood, I anticipate that being an issue as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the reservation requirements on prohibited activities, I would really like to see us add no smoking along with the alcohol.
Yeah, our park smoke free.
No.
Ooh,
that's
who do you think you are, Gavin?
I don't know.
We don't have a law on Discovery Bay.
I don't know if that's within our jurisdiction. Maybe, but
is it a state law?
No, cigarette bats.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You can currently, state law states that you cannot smoke within, I believe it's 100 feet of a playground.
I don't know.
I believe it's 100 feet of a playground area, and many communities are adopting no smoking ordinances in their parks specifically. So that would definitely be, since we own the park, that would definitely be an option of the board.
But that's not an issue we're having on this thing.
We have a prohibited activity section.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then I have one more, and this one's just small, on the basketball courts when we outline how to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you play to 11, not 12.
Why are we outlining how to play basketball?
It's here. If it's here.
There are situations where people are waiting to use a court. Same with the tennis courts. And then in those circumstances, we'll have posted rules that if you're waiting, you can't just stay there all day. You have a time limit or you have a game limit. So that somebody else can use the
market. If you go to 12, you get a lot of ties. The spoons have you
put
your money under the mother.
Ties if you go
to 12.
Yeah, I know.
Any comments, Chris? Any other comments from the board? Any other questions for Farron with regards to this? Do we understand what we're looking? We're not looking for any action here tonight. Is that correct?
Not tonight. We'll bring it back to the board. We'll take your comments from this evening and bring them back in a and review them one last time and bring it back to the board for formal adoption. Most likely at the next meeting or the following meeting.
Good job. Thank you.
Thanks,
Farron.
Any comments from the public? Yes, I thought there might. Ms. Richardson.
Farron, would you reserve the entire splash facility for one birthday party?
No, the splash pad is not going to be on the reservation list.
Perfect.
Just the shade structures near there for the picnic areas.
Okay.
Somebody in the back there?
Yeah, just for a little bit of elaboration on this, I have reserved for a small group in the past over in Cornell Park, and I thought the fee was fair. Expressed to me is primarily to make sure that we cleaned up. It wasn't so much damage, but that we took our trash with us so that you didn't have so much of a burden. And so it wouldn't even be a problem. I mean, we like to take our trash away anyway, but it wouldn't be a problem paying the kind of, I mean, it was like $50 for 20 people or something. But I have a concern, like, particularly at Slifer Park, but you see it at Cornell and others too, that there are groups like the Slifer, the school brings people over all the time and they have these big events and then they leave all their trash there.
Yeah.
They herd all the kids back to the school and then it's a mess. And it's a mess for days on end until you guys, you know, I think there should be something that you should consider to address that kind of issue. That if it's obvious they're there, there ought to be something done to make sure that they either clean up or they pay for it.
Yeah. We do have
that. Go ahead, Farron.
I was just going to say, in just regards to Slifer Park and Regatta Park, we don't have any ownership rights there. These rules would not apply. These fees would not apply. Those go through the county. They do not have fees, but they do have insurance requirements and approval processes. So while we maintain the actual landscaping there and we kind of manage the oversight of it, I can't do anything with the rules that apply there.
So we still haven't taken those from the county, even though it's been about 13 years for Regatta.
Yeah, no.
What is the time?
Could.
Yes, sir.
Could we request, take his concerns to the school and request that they start cleaning up after themselves if they're going to use a park? Is that what, we should be able to do that?
I can tell you, like, right now, like, tonight I drove by there and there are there are people who are at the school and at Slifer Park, and I believe that there's sports leagues, not mainly the school itself. But the school does have functions there during the year. I haven't had so many problems with them as they do sports play.
Well, I can testify to that. They come over at noontime and they have events. I've seen them.
Oh, no, I have too. I don't disagree.
And they
leave
their trash. Yeah. The garbage is full and it's scattered all over the ground. And it blows around. On a day like this, it's all over the park.
Thank you. My concern is this. If we're being held responsible for the maintenance and upkeep, which we are for those parks, but yet we don't have ownership, it's a cost impact to us. So my concern is, how do we get reimbursed from the county or the school or whoever? How do we resolve that issue so it's not costing the town of Discovery Bay money to do that? Or is it their money anyway we're spending?
Yeah.
It's their money we're spending anyway, right?
All of our time gets charged to their zone.
Okay. It's still not a good thing, and it probably needs to be something to be looked at, and I don't know if we can enforce any policies. I think we're working down the direction of taking ownership of those parks anyway, aren't we?
That we are working on that at a glacial pace.
Well, you know what they're saying, the polar bears don't have homes anymore, so it should happen pretty quick.
It's not glacial at our request.
I understand.
We are pushing the envelope with them, and it doesn't want to open very quickly.
Okay. Anything else that you would like to talk, Doug? Let us know about that, Farron. Thank you for your presentation. Okay. You got something?
No.
Okay, moving on to item four.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, public. This is an item that has been before you a couple of times. I'm pleased to present to you a conclusion to our RFP process that we distributed back in October 2010, seeking qualified firms for the operation of our water and wastewater facilities. After an extremely thorough, and when I say thorough, I do mean thorough evaluation and vetting, Veolia Water was selected to continue to perform the services that they performed for us since January of 2009 when they came in under an emergency services contract. The initial term of the contract is a 5-year contract with the option for 2 5-year renewals at the town's discretion. So it could eventually result in a 15-year arrangement if everybody is pleased with everybody's performance and if everything works out as we expect them to. The initial year's compensation is $1,148,000. There is a fairly complicated escalation clause so that each year the contract can increase based upon a series of economic indicators, if you will, that was frankly too confusing for Virgil and I to understand. So we told them that, okay, fine, we'll go with it, but we do not want to exceed a 3% increase in any given year. So based upon whatever those economic indicators are, the worst case scenario would be a 3% increase in any given year. And based upon the information and the that Veolia has provided us, using those same indicators with some of their other clients in the area for the past few years, they've been ranging anywhere from about 1% to about 2.5%. So if that stays the same, I think we'll be okay there. Another thing we've added in the contract is a 1% discount to the town if we can pay our bills in 15 days, which results in probably about $20,000 a year, $15,000 a year in savings to the district. So we will be on top of that, make sure that we can do that. They will staff the operations on a 24/7 operation. They will not be there 24/7, but they will have on-call staff at all times when they're not there, with 8 employees, which is an increase over 2 employees of what they have right now. Those 8 employees are consisted of a project manager, 1 administrative assistant, 1 assistant project manager, 3 operations and maintenance technicians, 1 maintenance mechanic, and 1 instrumentation and controls technician. That INC technician, the last one, is really a benefit to the district. We spend a significant amount of, over the past few years, a significant amount of money on our SCADA system, on our controlling system with respect to upgrades and software upgrades and those sorts of things. And the INC tech that Veolia will bring on board can help supplement that. They cannot replace it 100%, but they can help supplement and bring some of that staff in-house. So basically, they've been on for the last 2 years. They've also provided a lot of back of house support to the district that we would not get with a smaller firm, or that we would not have the ability to do in-house if we were to ever consider that. And so it's nice to know that they've got their their InfoNet system has been recently installed and upgraded. And they've also, as you know, have transitioned us from the paper self-monitoring reports to the electronic self-monitoring reports, which was a big step for us. One of the other benefits with the contract, I believe, in my opinion, is the location and our proximity with respect to Veolia's other properties within the region. In times of a emergency situation, they can draw from a number of their other properties, and for a mutual aid environment, I think that's very important for us, in considering we are not in a highly populated area. So with that, I'm very pleased to recommend this contract to the board this evening for adoption. It will, if approved, it will be effective May 1st of January of 2011 and run through April 30th of 2016. This evening we have Aaron Weiner from Veolia Water. He is their, sorry Aaron, I don't know your title.
District manager.
Doug Little is a project manager in Lathrop and will be taking on a higher level role here in Discovery Bay. Shilin Patel is their contracts manager for their marketing guy, if you will. And Greg, I'm not sorry, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name.
White.
Greg White, and Greg is, I'm not sure if Aaron would like to introduce him, but he is their new project manager on site. So with that, if the board has any questions, I'd like to turn it over for that.
No, as a member of the team that picked this, came back to Veolia, I think we picked the right company in the end, and I'm glad they finally got through, got this contract hammered out, and there was not too much of what I'm told, so that's good. And I look forward to five good years and more. So, great.
Go ahead.
When you say new project manager, is that project manager for this project? Or?
Yes.
Yes, Greg will be the new project manager for Discovery Bay.
What will Gerald's capacity be?
Gerald, I believe Gerald will remain on project as the assistant project manager.
And our new project manager will be here on an everyday basis?
That's correct.
The other question that I have, we base this contract on a certain amount of employees, on a certain staff. Veolia, who I'm very happy with, has had a history of losing staff on a regular basis. How does that affect our contract if they can't produce it for the...
That's a good point, and I'm glad you asked that. It was a discussion point, certainly in the negotiation phase, that if Veolia has a vacancy that exceeds 90 days, we call that the recruitment period. If they have a vacancy that exceeds 90 days, and if they're not making substantial progress towards filling that position, we have the right to deduct from the contract full burden value of that employee. So it would not cost the district any money beyond what we would, beyond the normal recruitment period.
But can't that turn into a rolling 90 days? Because we're losing an employee, it seems like every couple of months we've got an employee leaving here.
But
if you're on a 90 day turn.
It would be based upon that individual employee. I think that the thought here is that now that Veolia has a 5-year contract in place, they've just hired Greg White as a new project manager. They've been interviewing a number of people in anticipation of this contract. They backfilled some of the vacancies, one of the vacancies specifically that I'm aware of, they backfilled that position. And so they are making great strides. I think it'll be a lot easier for them, and I think they will agree with you, to be able to, now that assuming the board approves the contract, that they can wave in front of a potential applicant and says, we have a 5-year deal. Potentially a 15-year deal.
The other question I had is we had an issue with cleanup. You know, some of our areas here, the place is a mess. And in the new is this spelled out in the new contract that they will maintain and clean and take responsibility?
Yeah. One of the difficulties was the current emergency operations contract did not specifically identify that was part of their responsibility. The new contract is very specific as it relates to who is responsible for what. With respect to cleanup, in fact, within the first, I think, 90 days of the agreement, we're all going to go out, we're going to walk the site, and identify and mark what needs to be removed, what needs to stay, to do some cleanup, weed removal, that sort of thing.
Chris? Ryan?
We talked about the one question I had earlier today, the 510, section 510. And that makes sense to me now. All I was going to say is in the future, can we have this in layman's?
Your mic's not on.
Section 5.10.
Yes.
Do you have a question about section 5.10?
What is it?
The only part that I was slightly confused with, and we talked about this, and then I reread it after I talked to you, was the part in after the bold agreement.
Yeah, section 5.10 is the essentially the catch-all language in the liability section, which is what section 5 is. And what that essentially says is that in the event that there is a catastrophic incident of some sort, and Veolia is liable for that catastrophic incident, regardless of whether or not their insurance company pays the claim or not, that Veolia will backstop the liability to a limit of $10 million. So if we get insurance money, if their insurance covers $5 million and it's $10 million, they've got to come up with the extra $5 million, yes.
Any comments, any other comments from the board? Comments from the public?
Oh, you're not the public.
You're not. Oh, no, okay.
The three or four times I've come up here, well, I'm sorry. Good evening, distinguished board of directors. My name is Aaron Weiner, district manager for Veolia Water. The two times in particular that I've been up here, you've made a comment about my eyes because I had a daughter 10 months ago. I don't sleep much, and you didn't do that today, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
You look well-rested and shaved. I like that.
I am well-rested. We do sincerely appreciate, you know, the trust and the faith that you put. Well, I shouldn't get ahead of myself because you still have to vote. Really, the main thing I wanted to do was, you know, it's been a process, and I really do appreciate the time that staff, Rick and Berger in particular, have put in and the comprehensive work on the details of this agreement over the last 6 months. It's been a rewarding process for us. So I wanted to say that. And I also wanted to just introduce Greg White, who we had mentioned is our new project manager here. Greg has an engineering and operations background, and in addition to a consulting background, and came to us from CH2M Hill. So I just wanted to provide
and his level
to
is
you. He is a grade 5 California wastewater operator, so he will be our manager on site. So
excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Appreciate it. Virgil?
I think in due process, it seems like when we talked about Gerald and we talked about Greg, why the change and so forth, and I want to explain to the board and maybe the general public. In our RFP, we put in there that we wanted a certain grade level, a grade level 3 with multi-year experience.
Right.
Gerald does not have that at this point in time, hence why they are making that change right now, because we specified that in our contract. So just so it's not that Gerald was terrible what he did, he didn't have that experience that we were looking for.
In fact, I really want to clarify that I think we all appreciate Gerald's hard work, and he owns it as if it's his own. It is his life. It really is. We enjoy working with him. I think all of us do. I don't want to speak for everybody, but do clarify that it really is a matter of he'll get there. He's just not there yet as to the level of RFP. Correct, Virgil?
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm going to tag on one thing there because I would like the board to know and the public to know, based on the last agreement and the two-year emergency service agreement we were working under, this new agreement raises the bar significantly.
Absolutely.
Significantly as to the type of level and service of contractor we're getting. We had a contract with Veolia to perform a service. This new contract is to perform a service and beyond. We wanted to make sure that heading out into the future, that our system and our infrastructure is maintained to the best ability as possible.
Great, thank you.
I just want to say I want to agree with Kevin. Gerald should know that we really do appreciate what he's done.
He's become a part of our community.
The job he did, and we know somebody's stepping in above him, and he really has done a great job.
It's a great team you guys have out there. Really.
May I just say one more thing? I would be remiss in not just mentioning also that Doug Little, who you did mention, Rick, we've done a little bit of restructuring, so now within the three Delta projects, of which Discovery Bay is one, Doug is the lead project manager, so he will be involved more closely on an ongoing basis with what's going on here. So,
thank you. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the Veolia contract as
I'll second.
Said. Give you for 5 years, just so.
It's clean. It's an
as recommended.
As recommended, it is a 5-year contract. Right.
I'm
doing it.
And it's been seconded, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Just point of clarification.
Yes.
Your motion is also to authorize the president to execute the contract.
Okay.
Got that, Carol?
Yeah.
Thank you, Council.
I'll second it a third time.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. I just want to make the comment that I want to thank Rick and Virgil from our staff standpoint and Council for the hours and hours and hours that you guys put into this. I know I've walked in and you guys, I've seen you working hard, and I really appreciate all the effort to make sure that all the T's got crossed. And I want to thank the Veolia team for bringing this forward and working as diligently also. I know that there was times when it didn't seem like it was going to go, but you guys stuck with it, and I appreciate that, and we look forward to working with you. And Ray and I, it was a pleasure for us to be on the committee that was going through the selection process. And thanks for your time that you spent on the contract also, Ray. I appreciate that. And I'm very satisfied and happy to say that we're moving forward with this at this point.
And it's done.
It's done. Item number 5.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. At our last meeting, I brought to you a merchant services agreement with bank card services for credit and debit card transactions. At that time, the board had some reservations with respect to having members of the public the ability to pay by credit card here at the district office and have the district absorb that transaction fee of up to 2.5% plus 20 cents per transaction. And so I went back and I had a sleepless night over this, and I went back and thought of a couple of different options that the board could consider. I think it's very important that the public have the opportunity to come in here and pay their bill by credit card, and since we're no longer going to be accepting cash, that we provide them the opportunity in the venue, if you will, to be able to make their payment by credit card here at the front counter. If we don't do that, I think we're sending people away, telling them to go away, go home and make a credit card transaction on your computer or call it up on the telephone. Okay. I think that we have someone here in the office and they want to make that transaction, we should do everything we can to get that bill paid. So with that, I've given three different options. They all kind of make sense. The first option that I propose is a fee, is the 2.5% fee plus 20%. That's the actual cost of the transaction to the district for the transaction itself, not any labor costs involved or anything, just the actual transaction. In playing with some of the numbers, a dollar seemed to be about the midpoint of the average transaction, and $2 would be the transaction fee for some of the higher ones. When people come into the office, we receive about ballpark about 50 walk-ins a month, and when they're coming in to pay those, that's about out of 1,900 bills. When they're coming in to pay those walk-ins, they're generally folks whose water has been threatened to be turned off within the next 24 hours, and they want to get in here as quickly as possible and pay that bill, which means they are delinquent for three or four months, depending on the amount of the bill. So they could range upwards of approximately $100. So that's on the very, very high end. The average end is between probably $25 and $40 for those bills. So if we were to use $25, for example, the average the transaction fee would be about 82 cents for that transaction fee. So I would recommend probably option number 2 to the board for consideration if we're going to do this. I feel strongly that we do need to have a point of service transaction here at the office, but I do also understand the board's reluctance to not absorb those transaction fees as well. So with that, I am more than willing to answer any questions you may have.
Questions from the board? Ray.
Yeah, since I'm the one that kind of started the whole thing before, my first question is, how many times do you come back after we say no? I'll retract that question. I know the $1 is the middle. How's this?
I'll just throw something that's not there. How about $1 to a certain amount, and then at that amount, it's a $2 fee to cover the ones that are, that means we'll exceed it. Just throw that out there.
Mark, go ahead.
I think we're just making a $5.50, to tell you the truth. I know that everything I've ever paid by phone, by call, something to pay, they charge you $10.
Yeah.
You call to make a credit card or a check by phone, it's $10. So, I mean, I believe the $10 is highway robbery. But I think $1.50 or $2, whatever it is more than the phone.
If you have to call your credit card because it's a last minute payment because you're going to be screwed, because you're not going to be on time if you don't do it, it's $10, right, at least, if not 25 or something. But that's okay. Chris, did you have anything?
On the option one, 2.5%, is that the actual fee that will be charged by the merchant services company?
It ranges between 1.5% and 2.5%, and that's based upon the type of card you use. I've learned a lot about this. If you come in to pay with a credit card that you redeem miles from, for example, it would be 2.5%. If you come in and just use your bank check card where you get no extra benefit from, like a debit check card, it would be 1.5%. But the majority of transactions today are made with miles cards. Or somewhere where you get a hotel benefit or some form of a benefit back.
Yeah, I'm in favor of option one. I think that 2.5% is reasonable plus a 20 cents transaction fee.
Brian, any comment?
After our last meeting, I got grilled pretty hard by a couple people for saying no to cash and then saying no to credit cards. And,
Well, let's be specific. We're not saying no to credit cards,
no,
so let's not say
that. No, to the point itself.
Okay.
Okay, to not having something that people can slide. So I think that we should keep it as close to the actual cost to us is, and I think that no matter what we decide to do, maybe look at how many people we're getting in, how much it's actually costing, maybe 6-9 months from now, and maybe we have to change our mind. Maybe we have to charge more, maybe less. But I think it's important that we do have a point of sale in the building. So,
how will the computation be made, and how will we know what the fees are if it's a percentage?
It's just whatever the dollar amount would be times.
How do we know if it's a 1.5% or a 2.5% card?
We don't. We're just going to use a 2.5%.
Okay. So how do you think? Then how do you pick item? How do you pick number one to cover the cost if you don't know what the costs are going to be?
I'm just using that as that would be the highest case scenario.
Okay.
I think if it's too much work, I just can't see doing it. Pick a dollar amount and go with that. I would go with two.
And if it's not enough, right?
Comments from the public on this? Yes, ma'am.
Please come up.
Please come up to the podium. Ma'am, to the podium. Only because it's recorded.
Charging a dollar arbitrarily to everybody up to $50 and $2 on everything above that makes sense because it limits the time that one would have to spend on calculation. Secondly, if that's not enough, you'll know within 6 months and you raise it.
See, that's
what I
good idea.
Thank you, man. Any other comments for the public? Okay, my understanding is that you're asking for a decision from the board tonight to enact this thing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, would anybody like to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion. We'll throw it out there.
Okay.
I'm going to go with $1 up to $50 and $2 anything over that.
And I'll second that.
Well, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion by the board on this?
Can we add in direct staff to bring it back 6 months and see how it goes?
Well, let's have staff bring it back in 12 months.
Yeah, that's fine.
Any other comment from the board? You have that amended motion and second, sir?
Amend my second.
Thank you. Okay, hearing no more discussion, all those in favor of the motion as it stands with the review in 12 months, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, staff, for working
Board.
Your conscience.
I will sleep well tonight.
And,
I'm
going
to buy stuff well tomorrow.
Okay, moving on to item 7. I'm a little bit at a loss here because I'm supposed to be making some appointments and nobody's given me any appointments to make. So I don't know if we're going to do anything with this tonight or not.
Yes, I believe we are. The budget
I don't have any recommended appointments here to review.
The budget committee met just prior to this evening's meeting.
Okay.
And so the budget committee at this point in time consists of directors Tetro and Simon, and I apologize, I don't recall who the primary is on that one. Director Simon. So maybe it would be appropriate for Director Simon to indicate what the preferences of the...
You can, Rick. Go ahead.
Okay. The result of that committee meeting was to recommend to the board...
Go ahead.
And for the president's consideration, Christine Era, Galen Ziegler, and Michael McCleary be appointed to the 2011-2012 Budget Review Committee. And with that, the board would be looking towards a recommendation from the president. Or should I say an appointment from the president with ratification by the board.
Okay, I know that you guys are very diligent and worked hard to get this together. Based on your recommendations, then I would recommend that in fact that be the budget committee, that it consists of those five individuals, the two directors and Christine Era, Galen Ziegler, and Michael McCleary. Any comment from the board? Comment from the public? Okay, not hearing any. Is that a motion?
Council? We need a motion to ratify your...
Yeah, decision. That was my recommendation. We need a motion to ratify. Thank you, Councilor.
I'll make a motion. We take the selection that the president just outlined.
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Rick, I need to go back just one moment for clarification. On that previous item, you had a cost impact at the bottom, and I forgot to ask you about that. Why is there a fiscal impact if we're talking about recouping the cost?
Which, I'm sorry.
Item number five. At the bottom, it says fiscal impact, $40 this year and $240 next year.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a carryover from a cut and paste job.
Okay.
My apologies.
And I saw it, and I forgot to ask at the time, and so I didn't. So that is the conclusion of our action items. And if council will bear with me for one moment, I have a hunch. I know what the answer is going to be, but I need to bring this up. Earlier, we had an agenda item that was a report from the Board of Supervisors, and at that time, in that agenda item, the Board of Supervisors brought up a meeting that's going to occur this Saturday, and I don't know how many members of the board intend to be at that meeting, but my concern is if it's more than two, do we need a motion from the board to approve the attendance by the board in order to not be in violation of Brown Act, since it is about town business?
The only reason you're voting for is to get a stipend.
Thank you, Council. That was very appropriate for you. Thank you very much for that. Now can I hear from Council, please?
If you review your Brown Act booklet that I provided you, you are entitled to go to different meetings that are being held.
Okay? Perfect.
You're not supposed to discuss amongst yourselves town business. So I believe you can. I don't believe there's any requirement that there be any type of a special meeting agendized for that.
Perfect. That's all I wanted to make sure of. Thank you very much. Chair report, director's comments. Any directors have any comments? Nothing?
I have the same thing you do, so you can just go ahead.
Well, I don't really... Oh, okay. the chair's report, I did go... We heard mostly about it. I went to the ECCFPD, both Vice President Dawson and I went to the ECCFPD meeting, which is the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. We're very concerned about that because of our closed stations and their lack of funding. They basically, I believe Chief Henderson's gone, they basically did nothing. They didn't follow through with their report they were supposed to have. They're under a really tight time constraint with regards to getting this assessment to the public, because there's, just as we have for assessment increases, there's rules they have to follow and time frames they have to make, and they're going to a special election for it, and they're going to be doing all kinds of public outreach for it. And they failed miserably at the meeting the other night, and their engineer didn't even show up, let alone show up to tell them they didn't have the report done. So they were disappointed, and it didn't look good, but it still didn't address the issue with regards to our closed stations. So I just want to let me just Yeah, he covered that too, and that was, I was also going to cover the appointment for the board, but he covered that. So go ahead, Director Dawes.
The one thing that I thought was a good thing for us in Discovery Bay was that there was some, for the first time, some comments from the directors that maybe the process is going a little too quickly and that they need to rethink what they're doing and the process in which they're doing it. So my hope is the number that they're looking at for the benefit assessment is based off a poll done for a parcel tax. And I think that if they do spread out the time frame a little bit, we might be able to re-engage the argument of reopening our station. So I thought that was a small glimmer of hope.
Right. And they do have reserves, but they're trying to hold on to them, and I understand that. But it's still they're really rushing into this thing. So that's all that has occurred, I think, between the last two meetings for me. Any other comments? Okay, moving on to manager's report.
Virgil's going to give me an update on the Rutlands project, which was at the request of Director Dawson at our last board meeting. And he's also going to provide an update of the Cherry Hill Drive sewer replacement project that the board approved in the special meeting last week.
Picture from the wetlands on Monday. We had a group of about 30 students from the University of Berkeley. They're in the engineering environmental class for University of Berkeley, and the class generally comes out one or two times a year. One of the individuals in this picture is the one responsible for the wetlands itself. On his particular study that he's looking at, I explained to you before that what they're trying to measure now is to, or his program is trying to remove pharmaceutical products from the wastewater as it comes through there. And let me just go through here and I'll. This is his cell that he's looking at right now. And the concept that he's trying to, or the theory that he's working under is sun rays will form algae, the algae will drop to the bottom, and the combination of the algae and the sun rays will help remove some of the pharmaceutical products. He did present a poster that I had once on the wall here. I did loan that to a Veolia employee to show some other classes. I do have it back and I can put it back up again. He is making some progress, but what you see here is duckweed that is hurting his process. And so right now he's got to figure out a way how to remove this duckweed from this cell so he can get his program, his theory back in order and get going again. And so that's where we are today. It's proven so far, based on what he's indicated to me, it's working out fine for him. We've had some other issues that have surfaced. You can see an individual in the wetlands here, they have hip huggers. So they're knee deep, or actually more than hip deep in water. And the mud there is our clay soil. So as they move forward one step at a time, a lot of times their feet come out because the boot stays in the mud, but their feet come out. So they have to be very careful. And I don't think it was this young lady, but it was another young lady when I was there. She almost fell in. I was, thank God that did not happen. This is the young lady that almost fell. Matter of fact, I didn't realize I had a picture of her, but this is about 8 to 10 inches. We've been experimenting. This is cattails that are in here, and you see a lot of vacant spots here. We had the water level up really high. These top boards represents 24 inches. We had the water up too high, which we believe killed off a lot of the plants we had in there. So now we have lowered it down this particular season, and a lot more plants are coming up. These folks here are the two folks on the, ones that, both of them are professor, assistant professors, and this gentleman right here is the one who's responsible for this particular cell here and the theory associated with that. There's some more folks in there. They're taking a lot of measurements. What I did for them is last Friday and last Saturday, I put dye in those ponds for them. And they, what they did is they scooped out this dye when they came out here, and they went to different parts of the cells, scooped up the dye, put them in little bottles, and then they've taken it back to their labs in Berkeley, and they're going to analyze how many parts per million per billion was at each section. They divided up the cell into quadrants, and then what they're trying to do is plot how is the flow moving through there, through the individual cells. This is just another one of them. Oh, I think it's the same thing. So that's all I have on that. If there's any questions on that, I'd like to bring you Cherry Hills. I think you've seen this before. This is where water is overflowing the 10-inch into the 8-inch coming in here. The scouring that's taking place is the sulfides that is eating away at the concrete here. This is another one without the lift station. S is in SAM, which serves mainly Santex and the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. It collects all that wastewater, which we calculate to be about 145,000 to 150,000 gallons a day, sends it down through this pipeline. The force main ends right about here, and then it takes it from here and gravity flows down. It's just another picture of it downstream a little bit. This is the what we call mobilizing. This is, they mobilized this on Monday, brought in their equipment and the rock. There's big piles of base rock there. This is, they started to open the trench yesterday on this. These are two ramps that we allow the residents who live in these few homes here to drive over. You have a pump at this end. The hose is running way over here, comes across the ear, drops into this manhole, and continues its way down to the treatment plant. This is called the bypass. And so we use two of these ramps in order to do that. There's water flowing inside the ramps. There are metal tubes there, so the wastewater is flowing through there and dropping in and heading back to the sewer plant. This is a section of pipe, the first section of pipe we took out today. You can see the Swiss cheese in the pipe. And I tell you, it was just a blessing. Yeah, we opened the manhole about a month ago. I was out checking manholes. I opened it and I saw the backup, and then I knew we had a problem. Again, I think I told you we tried to, working with Veolia, try to understand what the problem was. I have another shot that'll just make your jaws kind of drop here a little bit. This is just a closer view of that same pipe. You can see that the sulfites had eaten away at the metal. Look at that. Wow. So with the clay soil around that, the clay soil acted like a pipe in essence. And so what it did is it ate away at the steel, but the clay soil was still intact around that. We, so far, we have not, we have probably put down about 40 some odd feet of pipe in today on both. We have an 8-inch and a 10-inch side by side, and we have not seen any sinkholes develop, any voids in the soil there at all. This is the new pipe that we're putting in. This would be your 8-inch PVC, and this is your 10-inch PVC. So as we go down, we have seven homes that we will connect into this pipe here. We lay X, or they, the contractor, lays X amount of feet a day. He then connects the individual homes that are affected by this to this. Again, we have that bypass going around, so there's no sewer going in this during the daylight. During the day, at the end of their day shift, they'll reconnect this last piece up with the existing metal. So at nighttime, like now, flow is moving through here. Okay. That's it on that. I want to show you a couple other items. You have a question?
Are you done with that?
Yes. On Cherry Hills?
Yeah, on Cherry Hills. First of all, how much more is left to do? What percentage completion are we at currently?
I think we're just about 20 to 25%. We're a game plan. You'll move a lot faster every day.
Uh-huh.
We'll probably be finished next week.
And do you have to trench plate for these people getting out of their driveways?
Yes.
They, uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. One of the things that we did not envision was mail service. The mail service saw that they would not walk on the lawns to the seven homeowners. And so I did call the postmaster yesterday when I noticed that, as I went out to check, and I noticed the mail guy turn around. Then I asked him, I said, are you going to make the delivery? He says, no. And I said, can't you walk across the lawns? He said, no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. So I called the postmaster, and then he said, well, how late did they stay there? And I said, 3:30, 4 o'clock. He said, my staff's already gone home. I'll come early in the morning. I said, unless you're there before 7 o'clock.
Which they haven't started yet, yeah.
He said, no, we're not there at 7 in the morning. I said, well, then we have a problem. He said, I notified, there's seven homeowners, but there's actually 10 that are affected by the mail because of our equipment going out. I put a letter out there to each one of them to notify the postmaster and make arrangements to get their mail for at least the next week or two. So
okay.
It's something we did not.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. Now let me just show you something else that we had yesterday, a water leak out on our famous street called Beaver. And so what happens is we have a pipe that's very similar like this. It's color blue, and it splits right about here. When you have a rubber pipe in, we have what we call a stiffener, an insert that we put into the pipe. Only goes in about 2 inches. Right where the stiffness ends is where our splits have been occurring. So it starts to bend right here and then starts to build up and starts to erode and then raise the asphalt depending on how much of it is broke loose. This is a new service. This is a copper service that we put in. But what it does have is a blue poly coating around that. So the soil, as I've mentioned to you many times, our soil is so hot aggressively against metals that depending on the type of copper you have, our soil will eat holes through the copper pipe. And so what we have is a new type of copper service line that we're using with this poly on it. And this is a brass saddle that goes around the asbestos concrete pipe. In the days when they put this in, they just drilled the hole right here and put it in. If we energize this pipe with this hole open like this, you have to stand a good chance of this blowing out of the pipe. And once in a while, we do have what we call those are blowouts. We do have that occasion. Now, let me show you another item that surfaced over the weekend. This is over at Lakeshore. I got a call Saturday night, about a sinkhole. I asked them to describe to me what a sinkhole was. Did you see earth 4 to 5 feet down? Is there a huge crack or what? They said, no, the asphalt is down by a couple of inches. I did go out Saturday night. It was dark to see, so I came back Sunday morning. I put a level on the top of the manhole, put a measuring tape so you can get a physical view as to the asphalt did fall down in this area. It did dip, but there's no cracks, but it did dip. So what it indicates to me, the sewer main on this particular stretch of road here in Lakeshore is a good 26 feet deep, and it's really way down there. And so when you compact that, it is very difficult to compact around 90 to 95% around the manhole concrete structure as it came up. My belief is it's settled over the years, and this asphalt now has sunk with that. It's not our problem, it belongs to the HOA. I did do Sunday, I did open the manholes, checked to see if the quality, if we were having some structural issues with that. It looked very clear, nothing indicated to me that we're having any problems. I just want to bring it to your attention. These folks, there were three of them. They put these type of a barriers, like you use in crowd control, around the manholes, then they caution tape.
not my problem.
Virgil, did we send notification to the HOA so they can take whatever action they want to take?
Yes, we did. And matter of fact, they went beyond. I heard a bird tell me that they were probably going to open these manholes and do some checking of their own. And so I hung around. I went out there, hung around, and I did see a guy with a hook ready to go in there. And then I yelled up the road. I said, "You better not touch that. I'll have you arrested." The guy stopped. And then I asked him, "Who authorized you to do this?" And he pointed up the street, three ladies in red T-shirts. And I said, "That's trouble right there alone." But I think, you know, the red hat.
No.
Anyway, they told him, they hired him to come in and open it and to put a camera down there to inspect. And I said, "You have no authority to do that whatsoever." I said, "I would pack up your tools and leave." And I said, "Call it a day." And so those three women did come over to see me, and I explained to them. One worked for a law firm, the other one worked for the HOA board, or they were part of the HOA board, and they wanted to inspect that. They did not trust what I said. And I proved to them, when our main goes down, it isn't this manhole, it's the first one I showed you. It makes a dog right, and so it turns. The dip in the road was after that, and there was nothing there. It's my experience, it's always been a road failure issue, and if they were to dig that up, they'll probably see a void right there.
It's a compaction issue.
Compaction issue.
Ultimately, we're responsible for any spill that would occur through a broken sewer pipe or anything in that area, even though it's the road is the.
That is correct. Okay. We would, and that's why we did the visual inspection to do that. The other issue is they open that, sulfites get to them, they could fall into that, could make them dizzy, fall in, and we really have a problem. Because
yeah.
Our fire department does not have confined space training.
Right.
And on that 26 feet deep, that person would more likely drown.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And that's all I have.
Appreciate that.
Oh, there's a question over there, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I just want to go back to Beaver for a moment. I know that in the last, I don't know, year, that's at least four or five issues we've had on that street. Is it more than that? Okay. So, like I said, all I know of is four or five, and I've actually gone over and watched them work on a couple of those because it's so exciting. And I'm wondering if we should have some sort of evaluation.
We're looking at that. It's just that you only have one staff member, and it's tough to. This contract is taking a lot of our time.
Understood.
The master plans have taken our time. So it's
I'm wondering. I would look at what it would cost to do a complete repair on that street as opposed to doing it piecemeal.
Well, one of the issues is we'd like to replace this main. This asbestos concrete main. And not have it there, so it would be the whole thing plus all the services. Right now, you have probably a dozen homes between Beaver Lane and Beaver Court that have new services that should last a good 20 plus years. This guy here is probably what we need to replace, but it's simple to say to replace it, but there's a lot of logistics to make that happen.
What's the lifespan on that
pipe right here?
Yeah.
It's probably got another 10 to 15 years, I think, on it.
Okay. All right.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, Mark.
Virgil, to get back to the HOA, they're responsible for the street, we're responsible for the sewer.
That's correct.
Wouldn't we be better off at this point of trying to find some kind of habit to help them, at least help inspect it, to relieve their mind so they know that there's not a sewer issue down there, that it is a street issue?
Yeah, but they need to go through us.
I'm saying that, but yes. Wouldn't we be better off offering and saying, look, show them what it is, so they can put their money into
right.
the hand.
And
I
said, if you need to inspect that, you need to come through us and ask us for that. You can't do that on your own.
Should they didn't ask you to do that?
No, not at all.
I mean, that way at least I'll know it is the street.
I did go to the HOA manager Sunday afternoon after I did my inspection, leveled and all that,
yeah.
And I explained to him what I found. And the HOA board apparently didn't like it, so they...
Wouldn't it be a good idea to do the visual and make a tape? Put a camera down there.
Oh, no, we can, but right now it doesn't give us any indication. A camera will cost us around $600-$700 right now,
really?
Or more, yeah, to do that.
I had one for $300.
Well, mine's 26 feet deep, and I have to run it at least 700, 800 feet in order to see any residue of rocks, anything that's coming in, or cracks. We would be looking for cracks in the PVC pipe if they see if any water's coming in, that type of thing. We did not see any of that. I did not see
any. Any other comments?
I think
from
Jeff had one, yes. Mr. Barber.
Two questions. First on that sewer pipe failure, and I understand that pipe, particular pipe, is not a frequently used pipe in the Discovery Bay, is that right?
That's correct.
Was
you're talking
pipe?
About the ductile iron one.
Was that pipe?
And Mark, can you please come to the mic, microphone and speak?
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff, excuse me. Mark's still on with Zoom and Jeff's on with Zoom.
When that pipe was installed, was it to code? Was that, did it meet all code requirements when it was installed?
I do not know, Jeff. I can tell you that pieces of this pipe, when we pulled that out, I did see some wrappings on it. Generally, you would wrap it. This section, I did not see a wrapping on it. This was installed roughly in about 1990, late 89, early 1990. It generally should have had a 60-year life expectancy to this pipe. I believe primarily, even though the soil is hot, I believe the problem occurred on the inside with the sulfides. And what we did, the engineers probably didn't analyze the agitation of the wastewater bringing out the sulfides to eat away at that metal section of pipe.
Would that pipe type of pipe be to code now?
It'd be to code now if it is just a gravity flow and not the sulfides in it.
Question with the wetlands. I know it's been brought up before about injecting scientific, outside independent scientific rigor into this evaluation. Are you any closer to that possibly happening? Peer review outside, totally independent, peer review who doesn't have a financial interest in this project?
And actually, this particular year we're being funded by a grant. The University of Berkeley got the grant to fund that. All we have is putting up the site
right.
And maintaining it. I'm open to anything. Anybody can come and use it, but these young adults are the ones doing their white papers to help us in the industry really solve a problem, not just Discovery Bay, but elsewhere as well.
And I ask the question again because as I hear, you hear invasive weed, like the duckweed you mentioned, and any uncontrolled system is going to be susceptible to that today, tomorrow, and forever. We know a lot about what invasive weeds do here in this community, and there may be species come into this area we don't even know about today. So I'm wondering what a totally independent, rigorous scientific review would say about making an investment or trying to use this type of a system to meet a future requirement when indeed you're so susceptible to unknowns.
Yeah, I don't know about that part. Thank you. Questions
on
the board?
No.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said, yeah.
Did you have something?
I just wanted to say that peer review is done upon the publication of papers. So until they publish their white papers, there is no peer review.
We can't hear him.
That's okay.
It's okay. It pays being the youngest one.
We are going to
be the most sure. Anything else, Virgil? Any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much for the nice report. Rick, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I have besides two items listed, I have three other reminders for you. The emergency preparedness item is just to let you know that I have initiated looking into our emergency preparedness plan in light of what took place in Japan a few weeks ago, a month or so ago. It certainly, that an event like that has the net result of if everybody dusting off their emergency preparedness plans. And so we've been discussing that at the staff level a little bit, and I suspect that we will be having something coming back to the board with something more formal later this year. It's a very complicated and comprehensive process.
The internet access at what wastewater treatment plants 1 and 2. Gerald was here at our last meeting and indicated the difficulty of internet access at that location. If you remember, shortly thereafter, we had those severe winds on a Saturday night, I believe it was, and the vendor that we utilize on that to provide our internet access at that location had some of their antennas that were knocked out of alignment. And when they went to realign their antennas, they discovered a very damaged and frayed connective, a cable of some sort. They replaced the cable and they had an immediate improvement to their internet access at the location. It's one of those things, they tested all the equipment, they ran diagnostics, and it, you know, unless you happen to come across it, it was a needle in a haystack kind of thing. We still do have some issues with respect to that. When Veolia goes through the back door, if you will, with respect to SCADA system upgrades and maintenance and things along those sorts, that is a very heavy draw of the bandwidth. And what we also use the same bandwidth for our video, our security video system. So when they do that, we do need to shut that down. So we're looking at a parallel path to possibly eliminate that. You know, they come in during the day, they shut it down, and then we turn it back on. But it's something we don't really want to turn off on a regular basis from a security standpoint. So I'm pleased to report that was a relatively simple fix. We're still doing more. As a matter of fact, their internet speed, I brought my laptop down there to test my speed. My laptop to the speed here, and they're actually getting quicker speeds down there now than I do up here. So I was happy to see that. Just a reminder.
You're happy not to hear about it.
No, I understand. Karen Cornell mentioned the meeting at DB Elementary on Saturday. Splash pad grand opening, or ribbon cutting, I should say, is on April the 30th. We did today, as I indicated earlier, go out and turn the splash pad on, doing some tweaking. We're going to run it for a few hours each day in the afternoons, make sure everything works right, those sorts of things. There were a lot of very excited little children out there this morning.
What time is the 30th?
I believe it's at 11 a.m. And just a reminder on the Relay for Life, I want to make sure that you all participate, and that's all I have this evening.
Thank you. Council?
No report, sir.
Thank you, sir. And correspondence listed, public records requests, had a few. Future agenda items.
Yes, I would like to have call it a review of our district representative list, possible either change of some of the categories listed, or discuss some ground rules of how we work with them.
Any others?
I have two requests for future agenda items.
Public has a right to comment on each agenda item, so we may comment.
Please do.
I'd like to see on an agenda very soon this board consider developing a specific planning process that includes priorities, that stands alone and works with your budgeting process. I know you don't want to hear it. I've said it before. Other people have said it. I know you'll go to great lengths to minimize my commentary, but I think that needs to be on agenda. I think not doing it is negligent. This town, CSD, this board needs a priority planning establishing method. It needs to be independent of your budget process. That's number one. Number two, I submitted in writing a few weeks ago a recommendation to establish a parks and recreation function for this town at no cost, setting the stage for going forward. I think that's important to do, and I think that's important to do in conjunction with an overall priority and planning system. And I think it's important to do before you launch heavily into a budget process. So again, establishing a budget, establishing a planning and priority setting program and process for this town, and establishing a parks and recreation function that utilizes the existing LAFCO approvals for parks and recreation. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? Yes, ma'am. Please come.
My name is Marie Grant, and I'd like you to think about putting on the agenda something, a discussion on limiting pit bulls.
Ma'am, we discussed that before you came in. You were late.
That was just public discussion. I'm asking you to consider a law.
Okay. Go ahead. I appreciate that.
And therefore, if you would be so kind, I'd like to see it on an agenda, the limiting of pit bulls in Discovery Bay. I've lived here for 14 years. I'm in serious fear. One of my dogs was attacked and nearly killed in my own driveway in the golf course. This is just some stuff council may find useful. And it was my printer that broke down, and that's why I'm late.
I understand that. I just wanted to, that's okay. The subject had been talked about.
I'd just like to put it on the agenda as a possible law.
Staff has taken due note.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other?
We do. I got a comment.
You had your chance.
Now
you
blew through it. Back to item H, chair reports and director's comments. I just want to remind the community we're having a community center committee meeting on April 19th here at the town office. Some more information to come, please contact me.
Thank you, Chris. Did you guys schedule a budget? You haven't. You scheduled a committee meeting. And we will soon have times out for the communications committee also. At this point, I will adjourn this meeting. Please note that we will take a 5-minute recess and reconvene for a special meeting.